You know you're going to be fine when you got more than one preacher in a morning. How's that sound? Do I sound cool? Okay. That's what we're going for. I almost thought we were going to have it all this morning. Everly wanted to sing a Christmas carol, but then she left. I was like, Wayne took care of Easter, now we'll do Christmas. So I have kind of I just want to talk out of, I don't have notes, so I just want to talk for a few minutes out of Joshua chapter 1. When God first laid this on my heart, I was like, oh, that can't be God, that's too obvious. And it felt, but I kept coming back to it, and it also feels a little, it would be easier to preach a sermon that wasn't really relevant, you know what I mean? You get up and you talk about stuff that, it's like, it's good stuff, but it's not really for today. Sorry, I'm addicted to coffee. Making confessions, so. But here in Joshua chapter 1, this is the story of the events just after the death of Moses. And here in verse 1 it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. And I think we'll just kind of read our way through this, but I don't want to rush past that first sentence. In verse 2, he says, Moses, my, with a capital M in my Bible, Moses, my servant, is dead. I feel like we could go by that, and I've actually heard it preached where it was like, get over it. Like, it was kind of like, it's time to move, you know. And it's like, but I don't think that's how God said it. I think that God said, he said he's my servant. Not Moses, your leader. Not Moses, your pastor. Not Moses, your deliverer. But Moses, my servant. I almost feel like there's a little bit of loss in there. There's a little bit of grief in there. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now think about the life of Moses. I mean, what a life, right? I mean, you can't really, aside from Jesus, you really couldn't say there's any person that's ever been greater than Moses. And when I think about what was going on in the world at that time, they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have, you know, they estimate 2 billion people on the planet right now that proclaimed to be Christians. They didn't have that. They didn't have the revelation that we have. They didn't have worship music. They didn't have Christian radio and television and internet and podcasts. They didn't have that. There were a few people on the planet that were listening and obeying God. And God called Moses out of the midst of his wilderness. And are you guys familiar with Moses? Hope so. So Moses, God calls him, God anoints him for 40 years of his life, he spends following hard after God. And when you look at this group of people, most of them were under 20 years old. And the only leader they had ever had was Moses. They had never followed anyone else. And so they didn't have a reference point for saying, well, you know, well, I've had other leaders and, you know, they've been good. And I feel like there are people here that have only had one pastor. So this is dramatic. This is a dramatic move for these people. The man who parted the Red Sea and got water out of a rock and all of these things, he's gone. And what I really feel, what I feel the impression of the Lord on that sentence, there's a question in it where he says, my servant, my man on the ground, my guy who had committed himself to following me no matter what, against incredible obstacles, incredible odds, with incredible boldness, he's gone. And the question that is there now is, what are you going to do? Are we going to let the world not have a man on the ground? Are we going to let the world not have a person that is seeking after the heart of God? And so God calls him and he says, now, therefore, arise, go over Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, so from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites and the great sea towards going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And it says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people and said, pass through the camp and commission them, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. I think there's so much in that piece of scripture that we can glean and that we can apply. And the part that I really love is that although God had placed Colstrip in Pastor Rod's heart, and we know that and we felt that, I believe that God has given this land to us, not to Pastor Rod. God has given this land as an inheritance to the church. The Bible says, ask and I will give the nations to you. What I love about that is that he didn't say, I'm going to give the nations to you. He said, ask. If you don't ask, it doesn't happen. If you don't ask, if you don't ask for it, if you don't believe for it, it won't happen. We have a part to play in the plan of God, and our part to play is to ask. And he says, every place that the sole of your foot would tread. I don't live in your house, and I don't work in your office. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread, God wants to give that to you. He wants to give that to you for the kingdom of God. And then it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. We all look, I mean, the slideshow of Rod's life is an amazing, it's an obvious big life, successful, great life. And on one hand, it's intimidating, and on the other hand, it makes you say, boy, I don't want to live. I don't ever want to sit around and act bored. Right? I remember telling kids, I haven't said I was bored since I was like 17, because there's always something to do. You should have twins. there's always something to do. But what I believe God is saying here, He says, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. What's the Bible say? He will not leave us as orphans. He will not abandon you. You are not left alone. There's a big difference between being single and being alone. And the Bible says it's good to be single, but it didn't say it's good to be alone. Sorry. It did say that it's not good for man to be alone, all in one, because we are supposed to walk in covenant. And so he says, be strong and of good courage. He says that three times to him. He says, be strong and of good courage, and so that you can divide an inheritance. Then he says again, be strong and of good courage that you can walk according to the law. And then he says, be strong and of good courage and do not be afraid nor dismayed because God is with you wherever you go. Now this is prior to the filling of the Holy Spirit, right? So this is one of those things where we listen to people in the Old Testament and can think of ourselves as having less than them, when in reality, we actually have more than them. You're not going to find anywhere in the Old Testament where authority over Satan was given to a human. But you are going to find authority over Satan was given to the New Testament believer. Right? And so we actually have, as crazy as this sounds, we have access to more than Moses. And there's two sides to it. Moses, his face was veiled. One, because they couldn't look at him because of the brightness of the glory. And two, because it was fading away. And they veiled it so that they didn't know it had faded away. Because it was in the encounter that his face shined. It was not sustained. But we have been given the Spirit of God. And we do not have to, it doesn't fade away. The Holy Spirit's not going to fade away. So the countenance, the brightness of my impact does not have to fade. It does not have to start out well and then, you know, peter off towards the end. It doesn't have to start out with great gusto and then lose my fire. You can't lose a fire that you're not sustaining. The only fires that go out are the ones we have to keep hauling wood to. The Bible, but look at Moses' call. He was called by a bush that was burning but not on fire. I mean, on fire but not burning. Right? Because that was what God, the picture was, I'm going to do something through you that is not fueled by you. I'm going to do something in your midst that you're not going to be able to, none of us can take credit for this, right? I mean, we have an awesome church and nobody, honestly, including Pastor Rod, can really take credit for what God has done here. Jesus did a work. He set in motion something that is still going. It's still going. And our best days are ahead of us. They really are. Because the Bible says, of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Which means that from the day that he established it on the cross, it has been increasing ever since. And it will never stop. The increase of his dominion, his rule, his authority, his ability to perform has not ended. And it is not going to end and ever. When we're in heaven, it'll be expanding. Think about, they say that the universe is still expanding. It's still growing. And the reason it's still growing is because when he said, let there be light, he never said an ending date. So that light continues to grow. Think about it. If Jesus would have said, come forth, instead of saying, Lazarus, come forth, everybody would have got up. And so Jesus has called us and anointed us. And I feel like what he's saying here to Joshua is he's going, be strong like Moses was strong. Be courageous like Moses was courageous. There's a certain amount of this that's going, I'm going to take what I did in him and I'm going to put it in you. I'm going to take what I had taught him and done through him and I'm going to put it in you and I'm going to expand it. Think about when the Bible says there, the chapter that I read yesterday, it talks about how strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered, right? Now, that was the plan of Satan, right? And it happened for 3 days. And then, but what Satan didn't realize, and this is what I've been mulling over for a couple days, what he didn't realize is that when he killed the shepherd, he actually reproduced a bunch of shepherds. Sheep became shepherds. Look at the apostles. They go from following as sheep to establishing a church, writing the New Testament, doing shepherding, right? We're always under shepherds, under Christ. But he thought, I'll scatter the sheep. He actually reproduced the shepherd by killing the shepherd. He actually grew. If Satan would have known what was going to happen when he killed Jesus, he would have killed everybody that was trying to kill Jesus. And so, I believe that God wants to encourage you today and encourage this church today that as he was with us a week ago, he's still with us. The names of God are not just names, they're titles of victories won. And when he says, I am God with you, he didn't go back to heaven and say, I'm not that anymore. Because he won that. He won that name. Once you got the title, you keep the title. Even if you never play in the Super Bowl again, you can still say, still got the ring. I won that. I won that. And God is still with us. He is still for us. He is still in our corner. He is still moving us into the place where we can transform the world. That has always been the goal. It always will be the goal. As long as there are people outside of our church in our community, we still have work to do. And as long as there are people that don't know of the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus, we still have work to do. Now, Pastor Rod has entered into joy. He has entered into heaven, and he has heard the 7 words, right? But we still have work to do. And Jesus has called us, and he's saying, okay, my servant who heard from me, who listened to me, who did my will, he's gone. What are you going to do? The question is, how much am I going to say yes to Jesus? The truth is that our church will never cease to grow as long as we continue to say yes to Jesus. If we continue to say yes every time he asks, in the small things, in the big things, in the life-changing things, if we'll say yes, there is no end to what can be done through us. Look at Moses. Moses was not great and eloquent in speech. Moses was not, known for all this leadership ability. God does not call you according to your ability, but according to your availability. Are you willing to say yes to Jesus, no matter what the cost? Is it enough for us to let go of our life, of our plans, and actually surrender to Jesus? There's a big difference between accepting Jesus into your life and actually giving it to him. And a lot of us have made him Savior. I won't say that because I can't. It's possible to make him Savior and not make him Lord. It's possible to say, yes, I want to go to heaven, but I'm still going to do what I want while I'm here. It's possible to not surrender and submit. And the true mark, it's like when I'm training horses, we had these Arabs for years, and they're very intelligent horses. And they would do this thing where they knew the easy way out was just to do what you wanted. So they would do it. And you'd be like, gosh, I can do anything with this horse. Until you ask him to do something that wasn't comfortable. When the easy thing was disobedience, all of a sudden you realize, oh, I'm not quite as broke as I thought. It was in the corral, oh, I put a rope on his foot. Oh, he gives it to me. Oh, he gives it to me. Oh, he gives it to me. Oh, I can, you know, grab him by the tail and swivel him around. I can do all of these things. And as long as it's easy, it's fine. But when I say, I need you to run as fast as you can and stop those cows, it was, I don't want to run as fast as I can. I mean, it's been years since I ran as fast as I can. Which means as fast as I can is probably a lot slower than it used to be. No, like close enough, good enough. And so when it really came down to it, now these horses almost all turned out to be great horses. But it actually, so what it meant to have a trained horse was not that he would do all the tricks. It was that when I asked him to do something that he didn't want to do, he did it. He said, not my will, but your will. That was a trained horse. And in the same way as Christians, we've walked through something here that none of us wanted to do. Nobody wanted to do this. But this morning as I was looking out at you guys, and I just saw the individual sacrifices of praise. Just each one in their own way, bringing a sacrifice. Each one of us, and it wasn't, you know, sometimes we think that then there's going to be like, oh, you know, rainbows and lightning and thunder and all of these things. And honestly, it wasn't, that's not what we're actually, we can't measure the amount of what's going on in a room by the natural eye, right? And sometimes it's that quiet surrender that really doesn't seem to shake a lot. But we don't know what that actually is going to define 20 years from now. Courtney was talking about that song he sang yesterday about the present is a place that my future will define. And we had to talk about it because I was like, I don't really get that. But the truth of it is that I may not perceive my present until later when I look back and go, oh, that defined this. That was a defining moment and I didn't even know it. That was an important moment and I didn't even realize it. You know, we can, it's like when I met Pastor Rod. I told you guys, I told everybody the story about meeting Pastor Rod. I was in a church that was, we'll just say, caving in. And it was like Courtney and me and about three other people left, I think. So you ever see that picture, The Last of the 5,000? Remember that super skinny cow? It's literally from a blizzard year, like 100 years ago. And literally there were a herd of 5,000 cows. There's one cow left. And there's this picture of her. I mean, she's absolutely skin and bones. That's kind of how, that's about how we felt as a church, I think. And my dad called me that morning. And he said, hey, I just watched Jensen Franklin on TV. And he said something that I kind of thought was for you. He said, when God gets ready to move you or transition you, he'll bring a man into your life. He'll introduce you to somebody that's going to be part of that change. So I'm like, oh, that's cool, you know. And went to town. I don't know what all I did that day, fed cows or something. And I got back to town pump, and I'm gassing up, and here comes this big old lovable guy comes walking over there and is like, hi, I'm Pastor Rod. I'm going to be here for about 6 months. And my brother's, you know, my brother's Bruce Brown. He invited me to come down, just fill in for a little while. And he tells me that, you know, and he's just like talking to me like we've known each other forever. Like somehow he knows that I'm a Christian. I don't know if he knew or if he just was talking to me like he talked to everybody. But he was just basically just like, you know, just like, nice to meet you. And I was just trying to meet people. And like, it was like, I mean, he was literally, I think, still living with Bruce and just like barely here. And like, so I like get in the truck. And I'm like, that was odd, you know, like, and it was like, that was odd. And then it was like, I think later I was like, huh, that's funny what my dad told me this morning about that. And that was probably still maybe a year or more before we started, before he became my pastor. But and just the weird things how God weaves your life together. We used to go to Dickey Lake Bible Camp as kids. It's up by it's up past by Eureka, Montana, and that's really where my life, in a lot of ways, some of the most transforming things that ever happened to me happened at that Bible camp. I remember asking Pastor Rod or saying something about it. He's like, oh, I know it well. It's like, you know where Dickey Lake Bible Camp is? He's like, yeah, I was camp director for a few years. I'm like, you were there when I was there. Like he and I mean, when you're a 12-year-old kid, you don't care who the camp director is, you know, like, but, you know, but it's like, had you known, you know, that years later that guy's going to be your pastor, it probably would have changed things. But it's just, it is interesting. And so this morning, and I thought this was going to get more, you know, black gospel than this. But I want to encourage you guys this morning. Be strong and of good courage. You have everything you need. The reason you have everything you need is not some facade. It's when Jesus tells you to be strong. It's just like when Jesus said, be filled with the Spirit. And they were all filled. When Jesus tells you something, he is making a deposit of that thing in your life. When Jesus tells you, have courage, when Jesus tells you, take heart, it's not, see, the law required, but grace enabled. And the law said, stop killing. And it gave you no ability to stop killing. It just told you not to. But grace says, stop killing. And then it gives you the empowerment to not kill. When he says it, it comes with the power to do it. It's like if somebody says, you know, go down to the store and buy all the donuts. You're like, okay. Or they say, go down to the store with my credit card and buy all the donuts. Unless you've been through Dave Ramsey, no credit cards. With my fully funded, what would it be? Entertainment. Fully funded entertainment envelope. Okay. With that, take that down there. There's enough money to buy all the donuts. That's grace. Grace said, go do it, and you have the ability to do it. Go do it, because when I said to you, you could do it. We talked about this a few weeks ago, that he said, you are clean. They said, when did we get clean? He said, when I spoke it to you. When I told you you were clean, you were clean. And when God comes to us and says, be strong. Now, strength does not look like we think strength looks. I won't keep you guys too much longer, but strength, like we always think Samson looked like the rock. You know, he's Dwayne Johnson. and he's walking around. And he may have, I mean, I didn't see him. I didn't look at him. But I think when we look at strength, we go, we think for like, yeah, strength is like, I've never met anything I can't take on. But the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is strength. That the joy of the Lord is your strength. Finding joy in the Lord, or using the Lord's joy when you don't have your own, that's strength. Joy of the Lord. Or courage. I was thinking about the wise words of great man, John Wayne. He said, courage is being scared and saddling up anyways. Courage doesn't mean that you're not going to still process grief and still process weakness and still process those things. Courage says, I'm going to show up again tomorrow. Courage says that I'm not going to quit, but I'm going to keep coming back. It's amazing what a person can do with persistence and perseverance. I look at some of these things that people built before we had machinery, and you're just like, how in the world? Like, Bill Gillen built a shop out of lava rock, and he stacked it and did the concrete, built this big shop. It took him 14 years. He would go out in the hills and gather rocks, and he would come in and he'd work on a wall. He'd gather rocks and he'd work on a wall. 14 years. That's perseverance. That's vision saying, I'm going to want this someday. I think that's something that my generation needs to learn. That tenacity and perseverance to show up over and over and over again. And so I don't think that we're going to be like, and there you have it, and you're all strong and you're all courageous. I think it's showing up every day, giving your best. Showing up every day and giving what God has given you to do. And we're good at this, honestly. Our church is great at this. I look at the stuff that we pull off, like yesterday and things like that. I mean, we're going to host 500 people and it's going to go well. I just think the best is yet to come, that God has so much more for us than what we've already walked in, and that we're going to continue to see the outpouring of the Spirit of God, and we're going to see it increase in measure. We're going to get more and more of the filling of the Holy Spirit and the blessing that God wants to release in this town. God wants to bless Colstrip. Sometimes we think that prayer is begging God to do something he doesn't want to do. But that's not prayer. Prayer is agreeing with what he already wants to do. He wants to bless Colstrip. Sometimes we think God doesn't really want to forgive, you know, my long lost friend, so I got to pray until I change his mind. That is not how it works. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to be restored. He wants this town healthy. He wants this town in wholeness. And so what we do is we posture ourselves and position ourselves to be able to be ambassadors of that. Ambassadors of that kingdom that doesn't have pain, doesn't have sorrow, and doesn't have sickness, and where everybody is in a family. The Bible says that he takes the lonely and he places them in a family. If the church is a family, then that's where he's going to put them. If we're a family, that's where they'll come. Because that's the place where they can actually be ministered to and have their needs met, and the desires of their heart will be restored. And so today, take heart. You have courage. You have strength. And Jesus has given you everything that you need, and what we really need more than anything is to know that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. He's never going to leave you as an orphan, but he will call you to himself. And he's not going to leave us in a state of not knowing. Now, we got to be okay with mystery as Christians. So we have to be okay with trusting God through dark seasons, right? We have to trust God through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't live there. We don't build a house there. We don't invite other people to go stay with us. We go through it. And we come out on the other side. And on the other side, there's green pastures. There is a river that restores our soul. There is a river, the Bible says, the streams of it make glad the city of God. And that the leaves on those trees are for the healing of the nations. Isn't it interesting that in the kingdom, we're talking about healing nations, and then before we get there, he says, ask for the nations and I'll give them to you. If our intentions in those nations line up with God's intentions for them, he'll give us those nations. He'll give us this nation. He'll give us this one. It's amazing to me how easy it is for us to look at our world and view it like the world views it. Like, to be so discouraged. And I understand we all, we got to be real in the fact that we're not just, like, airheaded about the world. But we have the mind of Christ. And we can see what others can't see. We can see. And if you haven't walked in that, it's available to you. Jesus wants to show you how he sees stuff. Jesus wants you to see his viewpoint, his mindset. Amen? He wants you to see what others can't see. And look at the world when Jesus is in the grave. And it looks like all hope is lost, right? And actually what's going on is he is wreaking havoc on hell. He is absolutely destroying hell. He's leading captivity captive. He bound up bondage. Right? And when he comes back out of that ground, the world will never be the same because of what he did when it looked like he was down. What he did when it looked like he was out of the game. Amen? Worship team, if you'd like to come. If, as a church, I just feel like the more we pray for each other, the better it is, right? And so, if you guys would all stand up, and whatever you're comfortable with, if you're comfortable putting your arm around each other's shoulder or holding hands or whatever's convenient for you, could we just take 30 seconds and all in unison, not saying the same words, but I mean, don't take turns. Just pray for the person on your right and then pray for the person on your left. And if there's somebody that doesn't have anybody by them, move. Right? And let's just pray strength and courage and faith, all of the, just build one another up. Amen.